Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
So the war rages on between the Hebrews and the Philistines. And yet National Palestine Radio in America, NPR, National Palestine Radio, write it down, you heard it here first, around the clock, anti-Israel hatred with your taxpayer funds, which is amazing to me. National Palestinian Radio, NPR, around-the-clock Israel hatred on the side of the Palestinians, the Hamas, Muslim Brotherhood, paid for with your money. And I have to ask myself, why do so many liberal Jews support Hamas? I don't understand it. I kind of do, but I don't. I know many of you understand what I'm talking about. Why do so many liberal Jews in America and around the world support Hamas? Because at this point, it's either you're for the Jews or you're against them. There's no in-between anymore. Hamas is ready to wipe them off the planet. What do you want Israel to do? Just cower in bunkers like a good Jew? So when Israel was cowering in bunkers and doing nothing, the world said, that's who cares? We'll focus on something else. We'll attack Putin. The minute Israel attacked and said, enough is enough, stop pushing the Jews around, screw you, we're not going in the oven, we're not going in the ocean, we'll push you in the ocean. Now the world hates the Israelites. Turkey, which was once a sane nation, now has a leader, Erdogan, who's become a maniac. He says Israel's a terrorist state, it's worse than Hitler. That's number one. But what's going on the ground is very interesting by what I'm reading. While screaming about they're not going to give up, Hamas is screaming for a humanitarian ceasefire. Why? Not because they care about the civilians in Gaza, but they don't know how to stop the Chariot 4 tanks, armored shield protection, active trophy missile defense system. That's a lot of words. Israel has a windbreaker armor system that they can't penetrate. They have shot Russian Hornet E and 9M113 Concours guided missiles against Israeli tanks. That's Hamas now. And they bounce right off the Israeli equipment. And now Hamas fears that the IDF's 401st Armored Brigade's tanks, which are the only ones fitted with this special armor, will spearhead Israel's decisive assault on its underground high command and has asked Tehran, Iran, to find a countermeasure. So they're demanding a humanitarian ceasefire. This is off Debka File, a website out of the Middle East. Hamas is demanding a humanitarian ceasefire. Why? Because Israel has a brigade of tanks with special armor, and they're about to launch the final assault onto Gaza City and blow up the tunnels. And so this is what's going on. And I woke up in the middle of the night and I was saying, how do you destroy this tunnel system? Remember yesterday I eerily said that what Hamas has built over the last few years with billions of dollars in aid has not been hospitals, not a New Jerusalem. Remember, the Palestinians could have built a New Jerusalem in Gaza. They could have said, you know what, we hate the Jews, we hate Israel, so what we're going to do is we're going to compete with them the way civilized people do. We're going to build a newer Jerusalem that's better, that's fairer, that's more humane. Not equal, but better. Because we're the smartest Arabs in the world, and everyone knows that, by the way. The Palestinians are the smartest of the Arabic people. Everybody knows that. I've had Palestinian associates along the way. They've even told me they're known. They're hated by most other Arabs because they're jealous of them. Palestinians are the most advanced of the Arabic people. They could have built a new Jerusalem with all those billions of dollars. Instead, they built an underground city with tunnels wide enough to drive a truck through, made of concrete, with electricity running in conduits and sewage. It's a city underneath a city. So right now Israel is going in and painstakingly finding the entrances, which are cleverly placed in mosques. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. The clever Palestinians have placed the entrance to this underground terror tunnel city, in schools, in mosques, and, of course, surrounded by civilian homes. This is what they do. So the Israelis find these openings, and either they're booby-trapped, and they have to bypass the booby traps, And then they bring in bulldozers and they bring in jets to bomb them if they can. So I'm thinking this is going to take forever. You can't destroy this. But yesterday I said it's very much like the Viet Cong built the underground Ren of tunnels in North Vietnam, South Vietnam. And it's very much like that. I wonder who their advisors were. I wonder who advised them on building these tunnels. I would suspect it was the Chinese or the Russians. My guess, the Chinese aided the Palestinians. That would be my guess on this. Probably provided the concrete as well, but that's a separate story. How would you destroy the tunnels? How would you destroy the tunnels? Now, you can't use gas. It's outlawed by the Geneva Convention, so you can't put poison gas in the tunnels. So that's out. You could bomb them. It's a very painstaking process. They have to open them up with bulldozers and blow them up. The only solution, as I can see, is for the Egyptians to bring in seawater and flood the tunnels with a long, long, long connection to the ocean, the Mediterranean, or to the Suez Canal. I don't know if that could happen, but I think that's a rational engineering decision, isn't it? You bring in a huge pipeline from the Suez Canal, and you stick it like a hose into a nest where you have animals that have invaded your house, and you flood the tunnel with seawater. Would that work or not? Is that a lie? How would you destroy the tunnels? I'm just asking a simple question. That's one. A very simple question. But you've learned already on the show two things. People stop me and say, oh, Mike, did you hear? I heard this on a radio show that Israel has allies now with Egypt and another country. I said, you heard it on my show. They don't even know they're hearing it on my show now. That's the sign of a successful show is I break the news on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They don't know they heard it from me because I don't really care anymore. All that matters is that you get the information at this stage of my life. And so I say to you, there's two questions I'd like answered, which is why do so many liberal Jews support Hamas and hate Israel? That's A. B. The B question is, how would you destroy the tunnels? And now for a little pleasure on Friday. I've been after this for 30 years. 30 years I've been on this topic. The dangers of marijuana. Finally, you're never going to believe who joined me on this. The Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic in San Francisco is run by a very fine Dr. David Smith. He's a physician. But he says that he has a lot of patients where pot really screwed up their lives. This is a guy who's been on the forefront of, as far as I can tell, left-wing politics all of his life. But he's a doctor first, and his politics a second. And he understands that marijuana is very addictive. And standing in his Stanion Street office in San Francisco, he says about 10% of the pot smokers are addicted to this stuff, and that cannabis dependency is very real. And here over the bridge in Marin County, there is a clinic at the Muirwood Adolescent and Family Services in Muirwoods, Marin County. Nearly all of the boys between 13 and 17 years old residing in a mostly white affluent area are seeking treatment for marijuana dependency. How is that? I thought that George Soros spent millions of dollars to convince America that marijuana was safe and medical. For years, I tried to fight the Soros machine, who was funding the legalized marijuana movement, both in California and Arizona. I knew what this would lead to. I'm trying to warn you again, marijuana is an addictive drug. It's medically dangerous for the average smoker. So if you have or know someone who's addicted to marijuana in your household, why don't you call with your pot story? I also read that on July 23rd, 2012, we all almost were wiped out. You don't know about that. I was reading that, and it was a shocker. A solar flare nearly destroyed Earth 2 years ago, according to NASA. I thought that Obama destroyed NASA. I know that he said that the Muslims created NASA. I know that. Remember that when he took down our ability to fly men to the moon on NASA, he said that the Muslims created NASA. That was a shocking speech. But nevertheless, NASA still exists to put these things out. And they said that on July 23rd, 2012, Earth had a near miss with a solar flare or coronal mass ejection. This is a family show. So that was a perfectly scientific statement. A coronal mass ejection, CME, from the most powerful storm on the sun in over 150 years. And he said if it had hit the Earth, we'd still be picking up the pieces. anything that has been plugged into an electrical outlet, everything plugged into an electrical outlet would have gone out. Everything. You would not be able to flush your toilet because urban water supplies largely rely on electric pumps. And so if this country was hit for 10 minutes without electricity, certainly the idiots with iPhones in their hands, they cannot go to the bathroom without it. I've seen the addicts. They walk into fire hydrants. They smash into store windows. The girls are especially addicted. There's some kind of weirdness about it. I've never seen anything like this. They cannot be without the phone in the hand. Anyway, 10 minutes without it, there'd probably be mass hysteria in America. People would be checking into the psych wards for their iPhone addictions. But we missed, apparently, July 23rd, 2012, a solar flare almost hit us. So I went in my journals. I'm meticulous, and I keep journals. Not only do I keep journals of what I do every day, but I have logbooks of, you know, yearly calendars. I'm obsessive with it. I don't know why. I guess I'm egotistical or something, where I think someone will care one day. And so for about 20 years, I've kept yearly, daily logs. You know what I mean? Went to store, whatever. I don't put that stuff down. Only significant events. And I write things down like saw blank. This, I don't know, whatever. Bad hangover. Great show about Israel. Terrible show about Obama. Whatever. Well, I went in my box of journals, July 23rd, 2012. I searched back to 2012. And sure enough, I was looking to see, wait, what happened on that day that we had the near miss? I wanted to know, did that cause an extra large argument with me and somebody? Did I fall off a bicycle on July 23rd, 2012? Did I have a sudden migraine on 2012, in July 20? Did I have a sudden flare-up of some kind of allergy? Did a knee, did an appendix burst? Did a dog that I know get hit by a car? Well, I searched July 23rd, nothing's in the diary. So I guess although we missed the solar flare wiping us out, I didn't know, and nothing happened. So I guess that's good. It's good to know that these things happen and we don't know about them. I suspect they've been happening forever and no one paid any attention to them, except the people at NASA who have nothing else to do since they can no longer fly anyone to the moon. They may as well study these things. It's the Savage Nation. You know the questions. You've got the answers. It's Rock and Roll Friday. Play a little Symphony Sid on the breakout. And I'll be back momentarily in Fidel's, and I'll give you 15 minutes of America right here on the Savage Nation. Come on, let's hear the music, boy.
Jumping with my boy Mike in the nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com. Here's the Savage Nation, Rock and Roll Friday. Are you perplexed by the world events? Are you perplexed by a president who not only stops the flow of illegal aliens into America, but abets it, aids it, rather, aids, brings them in? You notice the exact opposite of what America wants, he does. He wants us to be on Israel's side unequivocally. He's on the side of Hamas, pretending he isn't. He tells his FAA to stop flying to Israel, and within a day, 2 days, rather, he stops because the Jewish money would have dried up. I mean, let's be clear. I have no other way at this stage of my life to mince words. Democrats, okay, get a lot of their money from billionaire Jewish people. Not only, but you know it and I know it. Do I have to hide it? Do I have to say it's not true? We all know it's true. You want me to name five of them? I'll be happy to name five of them. Hollywood has one. Las Vegas has one. New York has a few. I'll give you five right off the top of my hat. They're all liberal Democrats. And so Obama's been able to play them like suckers for all of these years, making believe he's on Israel's side. He's not. He's with him. Don't worry. Wink, wink. Just pass the cash, you know, when they need me. So he shuts off the vital supply of good services and passengers. And he says, oh, I didn't do it. I didn't do that. I was busy raising money in L.A. and San Francisco when it happened. I ordered my guys. Listen to Obama in clip two. Listen to this, because he backtracked. The minute these big donors said, hey, wait a minute, enough is enough, we're cutting you off, the unthinkable will happen if you don't let those airplanes go. We'll give our money to the Republicans rather than the Democrats. So the wiser elders of the Democrat socialist machine made them reopen the flights. Listen to clip two.
The initial ban that was imposed by the FAA was based on Israel needing to show us that, in fact, it was safe for commercial airlines to fly in.
Yeah,
right. They worked through a checklist of concerns and mitigation measures that needed to be taken.
Yeah, right, right,
having
right.
completed those and convinced the FAA, we moved forward.
It was all reasonable. Everything's reasonable and legal with him. We're going to flood America with millions of Guatemalans and El Salvadorans, but it's perfectly legal because I say so. And my goon in the Justice Department will write the law. And then we'll shop it to a bunch of degenerate judges in black robes that we put in there from America's lowest law schools. That's all. That's the America you're living in. Shock poll, 30% want him impeached. Yeah, the latest poll. 30% want Obama impeached. Are you one of them? On what grounds would you impeach him? Remember, it's a very high standard. High crimes and misdemeanors. Not a stain on a purple dress. High crimes and misdemeanors. Name one high crime. One high crime he's committed. Shall I name 10? I'll give you about 10 when I come.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Don't put your goddamn things in private homes. I'm sorry. Don't you dare put weapon stashes in private homes and then we say get out. Of course, we're going to do it. What are you all saying? They started. The Israelis did not throw their... Because I have been over there. That's how I know. And I wish the world would know. And BBC should be ashamed of themselves. And CNN should be ashamed of themselves. And everybody, stop it already.
So there's an old comedian, Joan Rivers. I'm not a great fan of her. She's very clever, but at least she's speaking out. She's not mincing words in order to maintain credibility with the anti-American, anti-Israel lobby that runs Hollywood. No, I mean, she went crazy. Listen to clip 5. You'll hear her talking about what would happen if New Jersey were firing rockets into New York.
Let me just tell you, if New Jersey were firing rockets into New York, we would wipe them out. I am so bored. We heard they were digging tunnels from New Jersey to New York. We would get rid of Jersey. So I don't want to hear anymore. Oh, we'll do a partial truce. The Palestinians, you cannot throw rockets and expect people not to defend themselves.
That's simple. Simple, I mean, look, you want to get complex? They're at war. The Palestinians launched a war against Israel from the home base of Gaza, which is their home. Israel gave them their home. When it was done, I was opposed to it. Not because I have anything against the Palestinian people. I said it's not going to work. The leadership is bloodthirsty. And I can prove it. They raised $17 million at the time from American Jewish liberals who meant well. And they built them nurseries. They thought the Palestinians, when they were given Gaza, would grow roses and vegetables and sell them to markets in Europe. Well, the minute Sharon removed the people from Gaza, the Jews from Gaza, the Palestinians went into the brand new nurseries built with American Jewish liberal guilt money, and they tore the nurseries apart. They stole the rubber, the hoses, they stole the motors, and they shattered the nurseries. They did not produce one flower for export. So now let me ask you something. You still think that this would come to an end if Israel gave up the West Bank? I mean, there's one thing you have to come to conclude from all of this. If ever you thought a two-state solution were possible, forget about it. It ain't working. You can mark it down. I said it to you 4 times this week. Many of us thought that a two-state solution might work. I said it the same thing a few years ago. I thought maybe after all of these years, some of the Palestinians who had been away from that hellhole and were educated abroad would come back and say, you know, enough war. Let us build our own New Jerusalem. We'll show the Jews that we're just as good, if not better. We'll build a new city. We'll exceed in medicine, art, science. We'll show the world who we are. But no, that can't happen. So if ever there was talk about a two-state solution, forget about it. It's never going to happen in your lifetime. Not after you see what they're doing with a tiny strip of land called Gaza. Just imagine what these bloodthirsty anti-Jews would do if they had a large swath of half of Israel. So take your rose-tinted glasses off. It's not going to happen. But it doesn't solve anything right now. I don't know who Israel's allies are at this point. We're certainly not. America's not their ally, not with O in the White House. O is a no-go. Always a no-go. Always a no-go in Israel. I'm surprised he hasn't cut off the howitzer shells. And I guess they're going to have to turn to the Soviet Union as an arms supplier for them. They build some of the most finest weapons in the world. Remember I mentioned at the beginning of the hour about the defensive shield that they have, the Chariot 4's windbreaker armor that cannot be penetrated by the most advanced anti-tank missiles that are being fired at them. The Russian Kornady and the 9M113 Concours are bouncing off their tanks. And no one can believe this. The Russians don't know how this is happening. The missiles cannot penetrate. These anti-tank missiles are blowing up. They do not penetrate the tank's armor. They don't slow the tanks down. And by the way, they were developed in Israel by an Israeli company. Both of them were developed internally. Not from America. It's not from American technology. They developed them themselves. So the Palestinians are demanding a ceasefire in order to get anti-tank missiles that can penetrate this armor from their good friends in Iran, hoping to smuggle them in from Libya through Egypt. That's why they're trying to ask for a humanitarian slowdown right now, is they like some anti-tank weapons that might penetrate this armor. So Hamas needs technology to neutralize the windbreaker armor and missiles from Tehran able to pierce it. So my nightmare is that this is going to get a lot worse before it gets over. I'm telling you, my 3 a.m. nightmare was this. You ready for it? You want to hear it, or you had enough on a Friday? I may as well share my 3 a.m. nightmare with you. Here's my 3 a.m. wake-up call. Remember the Iran-Iraq war? Do you remember what happened? Remember what the mullahs did? They took over 1 million Iranian boys, put them in army uniforms, and sent them as human waves against Iraqis. 1 million Iranian boys were wasted by the mullahs, these psychotic throwbacks who claim to be religious leaders, who are Nazis in headscarves. The Hitlers in headscarves wasted 1 million Iranian boys in their war against Saddam Hussein's armies. Now, Iran is a fairly large country. It has a large population. I want you to look at a map of the Middle East, and I want you to understand there is now a corridor through which Iran can possibly run human waves against Israel. I know it's a nightmare. I mean, I'm saying it because I know others have thought this. But I can think it. Certainly an Iranian maniac can think of it. They can start running human waves against Israel, and they could possibly what? What's Israel going to do if human waves came at them? They'd have to kill them, wouldn't they? So what? Then the pictures are going to show mounds of bodies machine gunned and blown up by planes? Why not? Isn't that what the mullahs want? Isn't that what they're doing now in Gaza? By placing their rockets inside mosques and hospitals, etc. Well, the same thing could happen on the West Bank. The, quote, disturbances that you're hearing about on the so-called West Bank, known as Judea and Samaria in the Bible, ancient Israel, by the way, to those of us who have studied history, it was not occupied at the time by the Philistines. It was always occupied by the Hebrews. But if you were to look at what's going on in the West Bank now, which is starting now with rocks and the slingshots and whatever, they could certainly start human surges into East Jerusalem, etc. And then what are the Israelis going to do? They're going to have two fronts open up on them. Then what's going to happen? Well, anything can happen. This is what I'm terrified of this. Why is this happening now? Why now? Answer, because of Obama. I know you don't want to hear it. All roads lead back to the President of the United States of America. The most powerful man on the planet is called Barack Obama. This country was once a stalwart supporter of Israel, always supported them in the UN through thick and through thin, as flawed as the Israelis are. And believe me, they're flawed. Not a nice place to live for most people. I couldn't live there. They're pushier than I am. Forget about it. You try to get on a bus in Israel, you better have armor-plated arms. So you go to a buffet, an all-you-can-eat buffet, you wind up starving to death like a homeless person. So, no, it's not for me. But nevertheless, they've always been our ally through thick and through thin, despite their many flaws, as the only democracy in the Middle East and a nation that's built a miracle in the desert, which is why they're hated. They've shown what can be done in a desert with hard work and genius. and dedication. They've built a beautiful, beautiful city in the desert, many cities in the desert. And their neighbors are still basically living in abject poverty. They've built almost nothing. Nothing. They've hated and hated and hated and killed and built nothing. So they hate those who built something very much like the Occupy movement here in America. Why do you think these scruffy losers hate you if you drive by in a new SUV? Is it because you're polluting the earth? No, because they're jealous, psychotic losers. Losers always hate winners. Losers will always hate those who work harder than them. They'll say that you stole it from them. It's human nature. So Obama has withdrawn his support for Israel, no matter what he says, for the Jewish donations. And as a result, Hamas has stepped up its campaign. That's what I see. That's why it's happened. And the only thing preventing this from becoming a true worldwide catastrophe is the fact that for the first time in Israel's history, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and UAE are backing them silently by not attacking them publicly, because they want Hamas, the Muslim Brotherhood, wiped off the planet. They want them wiped off the planet. And remember who Obama supported. It was the Muslim Brotherhood. When the Muslim Brotherhood came to power in Egypt, he said, well, it's a duly elected government. We believe in democracy. That would be sort of like saying Hitler was duly elected, so we support him. John McCain, of course, ran over and supported the Muslim Brotherhood, for which the man should be committed to a mental hospital. How could anyone listening to this show not agree with me that John McCain is the most dangerous loose cannon in the history of American politics? He went over there screaming to the Egyptians in Tahrir Square, oh, keep the Muslim Brotherhood, don't let the military take over. For that alone, the man should be impeached, thrown out of office. I'm talking about McCain right now. You talk about impeachment. While you're at it, get a twofer. Go for a due. Get a double out of it. So nevertheless, the reason that there's all of this activity is because America has withdrawn its total support for Israel. Not even close does it support Israel. They hate Israel. This is the most Israel-hating government in American history, which, of course, is what the left has always been. What's so surprising? You mean you thought Eric Holder liked Jews? You mean you thought Obama liked Jews secretly? They sang the Hatikvah behind closed doors with a glass of Manischewitz wine with Netanyahu? They put a yarmulke on Hanukkah and you bought the farm? They have the Hanukkah celebration with all of the donors and suddenly they're great friends of Israel. They hate Israel. The American left hates Israel. Hates them. They're the ones behind the hatred of Israel. So what, because he's wearing a suit and gives a teleprompter speech, suddenly change the spots? Forget about it. That's the way it is. I'm giving you the way it is. It's called the Emmis, where I come from. The bottom line, the truth, the Emmis. This is it. That's why you listen to me. You know I'm right. As Hemingway said, the truth has a certain ring to it. That's it. That's the whole story. That's all. Goodbye. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. So, I mean, I really don't care. At the end of the day, I mean, I wish it was over with already, and the Hebrews beat the Philistines already and ended it once and for all. And the Philistines just built their new Jerusalem and got on with the world. But that's not going to happen. They've been going on since I've been a boy. And long before I was born. And it'll go on long after I'm, entertaining God in heaven. I hope he doesn't turn me into a jester. What if he says to me, look, here's your job. We've listened carefully to you over the years. You had a long life. You did well. You did various things. You got a few black marks on your book, but here it is. You got to entertain God for eternity. What do you mean, three hours a day? No, not 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. No, no weekends off. No, 24 hours a day, you're going to entertain God for the rest of eternity. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, no? Well, how would you like to go to the other place, Michael? Okay, I'll get some new material. I'll be up there in a minute. That's funny. I'm trying to entertain myself right now before I collapse altogether from this. Who can deal with this? The Philistines versus the Hebrews. It's not bad. Jaffa, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gaza. Look at the ancient names. Tyre, Sidon. I was only to Israel twice. I almost moved there when I was an idealistic middle-aged man. No, young old. No, how, I don't know. I don't know how old I was. Two young children. Wouldn't have worked. Did I tell you what happened when I went to Israel? 1979, I was thinking of... The reason I went to Israel in 79 to move there, because I had earned my PhD. I know you don't want to hear it. I'll say it to you anyway. After I was older already. At great expense, and no one would hire me because I was a white male. They were reserving their positions for others. 200 rejections were enough. So the one of the great scientists in Israel at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem invited me there, and he said to me, we can give you a scholarship, a fellowship for 2 years, and that's all. But then after that, you're going to be on your own. You'll have to find the money. I said, why is that? He said, because frankly, we don't want you to move here. I said, why? He said, because young Americans like you are potential revolutionaries. He said it right to my face. He said that to me. I was stunned with the honesty of it. So I thought about it. I said, well, 2 years in academia would be, you know, great doing my research. I had a young family. Kids were very young. My son was 9 years old. My daughter was a year old. So think about that. So listen to this story. That night, the family is asleep in the YMCA in Jerusalem. And I went for a walk on the cobblestone streets of Jerusalem, and I thought about it. And as God is my witness, my deceased father, he was dead 9 years, spoke to me in the streets. And he said to me, I was an immigrant to America, and you want to make your son an immigrant to another country? I said, I was stunned by the realization what I was going to do. In other words, it was no longer about me. It was about my family. I went home the next day. So that was it. And so what I'm saying is you have to think about your children, which is why children are the most important thing in the world. They bring you into a reality you cannot have if you're a man without children. Talking to the guys out there who are afraid to become fathers and husbands. They chicken out of that. They don't want to do it. They don't want to do it. They don't have the guts that their fathers did. The hardest job on the planet is to get married, stay married, and raise children. There's no tougher job for a man. None. There's not a harder job on the planet. And that's why most of this generation will not do it. They want the easy way out, and as a result, the country is dying. And that's why Obama's bringing them in from Guatemala. How's that for a combo? One from column A, one from column B, or you want two from column B and one from column A?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Meanwhile, NPR, the National Palestinian Radio Network, supported with your tax dollars, is pumping anti-Israel hate around the clock. Not one word from liberal Jews who are good members and good standing of the National Public Radio Board and give their money, NPR. I don't understand it. I'm still asking, why do so many liberal Jews hate Israel? I haven't had one caller on that. Here's some domestic news from the Daily News in New York City. Police manhunt on for carjackers who slammed into Philadelphia pedestrians, killing two children and severely injuring bystanders. Now, what's interesting about this horrible story is that it's an all-points bulletin, but they won't describe the carjackers because they don't look like Timothy McVeigh. Or can anyone figure that out why? Be on the lookout. Two carjackers. One was wearing an undershirt. The other was wearing shorts. That's a heck of a description. That should narrow it down. Let's see what else is on the front page of Belgian cafe post sign banning Jews from entering store. It says dogs are allowed in this establishment, but Jews are not under any circumstances. This is in the modern age of the year 2014. This is what the Arabs have brought to Europe. This is what Muslims are bringing to the world. This is what Muslims will bring to America if Barry's allowed to bring his cousins in. If you permit Barry to flood America with his brethren, this is what you're going to have in America. But go ahead, keep giving him money. Keep going for the Song and Dance Act. You'll wake up one day, you'll be thrown out of your own nation. Earth almost blasted back to Stone Age by extreme solar storm in 2012. I told you that. I looked up July 23rd in my journal. Nothing had happened. I know the solar flare fired out, but it missed us. That's all I care about. I'll worry about a solar flare when it hits. If I can't plug in my electric toothbrush, I'll know the solar flare hit. That's all. The microphone doesn't work. I'll know the solar flare hit. I can't turn the coffee machine on in the morning. I'll know the solar flare hit. I can't open my garage door and I'm trapped. Help, I can't get up. Help. You ever see those ads on TV at night? They're freak. It's always a poor woman on the ground at the bottom of a stairwell pressing like a life thing. It's not funny. I mean, I fear it myself. Luckily, I live in a one-story house for that reason. Help, I can't get up. I'm thinking of getting one of those things. I mean, what if I fell down? I ask. It makes you want to buy it. Well, I'm going to tell my dog to dial 911. I can't teach Teddy that. He's got claws, not fingers. I wish I could teach my dog how to dial 911. Maybe I could make a special thing for the dog. Get up, Dad. Get up. It's time. And I lay there. What? I mean, no one would find me. Days I'd be here, nobody would know. We should be humane, says the city council speaker in New York City. They should offer to house unaccompanied immigrant children. City council speaker Melissa Mark Viverito said New York City should house the unaccompanied immigrant children. So this loudmouth liar had nothing to say about the veterans dying in hallways of hospitals. But she wants unaccompanied immigrant kids in your household. I would say, City Council Speaker Melissa Mark Viverito, I really admire your humanitarianism. Why don't you lead by example and take 10 of them into your house? Start with your house. Bring them into your house and then get back to us in a year or two and tell us how it worked out. That's all. Immigration scam. That's all. It's an immigration scam. How about that? Let's help the immigrants. How about building a big shelter right next to her home? You don't care about the homeless people on the streets of New York. You don't care about the vets in the hospitals, right? All you want are the immigrant children. How in the world can you, how does anyone understand this? I told you I'm an immigrant's son, but they followed the rules and they came here legally. They didn't sneak into the country and get freebies. And I'm trying to tell you that all immigrants are not the same. They're not the same, which is why sane nations decide which immigrants they want and which they don't want. They cannot afford to carry every immigrant on the planet. You want to support the whole third world and open up the country to every excessive person from China? Who's going to pay for that next with a bankrupt nation? Maybe Zuckerberg could pay for all of them. The richest man on earth. Maybe he could pay for a couple of million of them. New Jersey family splits winning lottery pool of $20 million. Let's see if they're illegal aliens or not. I want to see if it's always, you know, why do they always win? Oh, no, look at that. They're Americans. The Enderson clan. Carl Enderson, Christian Enderson, William Enderson, Ingrid Ilyushchak, Sigrid Enderson, and Marie McHenry of New Jersey won a $20 million jackpot after years spent pooling their spare change for lottery tickets. That's interesting. Get back to me in a year and let me know how many of them are in court fighting each other over the money. Oh, man, it's unbelievable. It always happens. Money usually poisons a family, except in my family's case. Because we raise the children a certain way. Did I ever tell you the trick to raise children that you'll never fight over money with? Which is give them whatever they want when they're young. And don't fight with them over money when they're young. They'll never be money grubbers. I don't know. Maybe we were lucky. I found that if people deny children money, if they're very pecuniary with it, kids wind up very frustrated and greedy. And we had a little rule in the house. We'd leave our wallets on the table open, and we would say, look, if you need anything, come and ask us for it. Don't take it. Just ask us for it. And we'd give it to them if it was reasonable. We never had a problem. We've never fought over money in my family. We fight over everything else, but never money. It's an amazing thing. We could fight over whether the moon is in the full moon phase or 5/8 moon, whether we're on the North Atlantic or the South Atlantic, whether east is east and west is west. But we never argue over money. We save it for like trivial things, whether you know the ocean is the ocean or a large inland sea. Then we'll argue over that. We don't argue over money. What's the point? It's a fungible asset. I like the word fungible. Because it reminds me of the word fungus. It's like smelling money. No, think about it. The word fungible asset. That's related to cash, which it smells like it has fungus on it. That's why so many people who snort coke over the years wound up with diseased noses, the nasal area. Not only from the coke, but the toxins in the dollar bills, in the cloth, the fabric of the dollar. The fungus is God knows what's in there. Filthy. Impeachment fears grip the White House. He's pushing an amnesty executive order, and he wonders why people are screaming impeach that fraud. 30% of Americans want him impeached. That's nothing. It's all right-wing crackers. They're racists. It's not because he wants to flood America with third worlders. No. It's not because he's spying on every American. No. It's not because he's using the IRS as a Nazi kind of thuggish organization to attack his political enemies. No. It's not because he has no foreign policy whatsoever other than to undermine our allies and support our enemies. No. It's because everyone hates him because of his race. That's all. It is the Savage Nation. What would you like to talk about? Oh, here's a good soundbite which the guys didn't get for me. I told you to always get Pelosi first. We wouldn't have the Ten Commandments if immigrant children like Moses were turned away. That's the crackpot said that one? How does she get away with this? Doesn't anyone in her family take her on the side and say, look, auntie or grandma, can't they say, grandma, you're making a fool of the family name? Earlier in the week, the California Democrats said children should be treated like baby Jesus, the children from Guatemala. Today, Pelosi said these are children coming over the border. They are children. What would we do if Moses had not been accepted by the Pharaoh's family? We would not have the Ten Commandments for starters. So she's saying all the children will be like the next Moses? So every one of them is a potential Moses or Einstein. That's very benevolent of her. So how come she doesn't have the same feeling about people who vote Republican? What, every one of the potential children are Nazis? The eyes are bug eyes. These are bug eyes. I mean, combine it with the Botox and the buggy statement. Something's wrong with this picture. Can we please have term limits? I mean, upper age limits on senators and congressmen. It's enough already. Feinstein's about 103 years old. Jerry Brown will be about 90 if he's elected, but 80, I think. Minimum age, 80. Just what we need is an octogenarian in the White House. He's a real front runner against Hillary. That's really makes sense. That's great. By the time he went 80 years old, they'll wheel him into the White House. Okay, what else do we have to say? John McCain, put him out the pasture. Shouldn't there be an upper limit? I would say, like, how old? What do you think the upper limit should be? Okay, let's say 70 is the new 50 today. In some cases, not in all. In some cases, a 70 years old, like a 50-year-old, was 30 years ago. But in the case of many of these people, 70 is the new 100. Their minds have gone long before their bodies. I mean, between the Botox and the surgery, you can't see what's going on underneath the skull. You can only hear it as it comes out of the lips. What's this now? We have any callers here? None. A zero job. No, I have a... It's a full board. I'd rather have music than do any of this. Do you like my NPR equals National Palestinian Radio? That's a good one for the day. That's a good throwaway line. Yes, but keep giving money to NPR during their fundraisers when they play the Guy Lombardo music and Frank Sinatra. I love it. All year long, it's anti-American hatred, anti-Jewish hatred, anti-family hatred, supporting perversion, degeneracy, sickness on the public television, public radio. Then around fundraising time, they bring out the guys with white hair and blue eyes, and they play Guy Lombardo music and Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin, and they offer you sets of their songs from the 1950s, and they expect you to give them money. I just love it. It's just great. You do, and you keep giving them money. Look how nice. Harry, come on and look. They're playing Dean Martin. Should we send them $25? Look at the nice book we get of Dino. The next minute after the fundraising, it's back to hating America, hate the family, hate the church, hate police, hate the military. That's NPR for you. See, if I were president, they wouldn't have 10 cents. I'd make them all pay it back personally. If I became president, first thing I would do, just for fun, not only do I end the funding to NPR, I'd make every one of them go into their kitty and sell their houses and pay back the money they stole for their outrageous salaries. Every broadcaster, every administrator in NPR, National Public Radio, they have to pay back every money they ever took from us. They'd sell their houses and their assets. They have to take their daughter out of college and make her work as a waitress. See, that's why I'm not a president. That's why I'm not a president. I'm just a talk show host. It's easy to do these things when you don't have to do them. Here's another story for you. Man 80 says he shot burglar after pregnancy plea. Did you hear this story? An 80-year-old man comes home. He finds two burglars. So he shot and killed one of them despite her pleas that she was pregnant. Then they arrest the woman's accomplice who has been arrested on suspicion of murder for bringing her into the burglary. So prosecutors want to see if they can charge Tom Greer, age 80, who said he shot the woman in the back as she fled from his house. She says to me, "Don't shoot me, I'm pregnant, I'm going to have a baby." And I shot her anyway, said Greer. to KNBC TV outside his house. Long Beach Police Chief Jim McDonald said in a news conference Thursday, the woman, 28-year-old Andrea Miller, did not appear to be pregnant. However, the surviving suspect, Gus Adams, has been arrested on suspicion of residential burglary and murder. That's interesting. So that's an interesting story. He returns home 9 p.m. He had been burglarized, remember, three times before. Old man, living alone. And he said the same suspects he thought did it before. He comes home after 9 o'clock. He finds the pair of burglars in his home. Both suspects attack him, hitting him with their fists and ultimately body slamming this old man to the floor, breaking his collarbone. Miller continued to hit him, McDonald said, while Adams moved to a safe and began trying to pry it open. The old man gets to another room where he grabs a gun and returns to open fire on the suspects. They flee through the garage and into an alley, and he gives chase, firing at them again. The woman turns and says, oh, don't shoot me, I'm pregnant. He shot her anyway. So now they want to charge him under California law. But under California law, how homeowners can defend themselves if they're in imminent danger of serious bodily injury or death. So now the prosecutors have nothing else to do. Instead of prosecuting the cartels who are bringing in the illegal aliens and destroying our neighborhoods, they're going to determine whether or not chasing after the suspects and firing on them outside the home goes beyond self-defense. That's all the prosecutors have to do. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Here's some late-breaking news. Russia has now amassed 15,000 troops along the border with Ukraine. This is just reported by the U.S. ambassador to NATO, and our PC Pentagon has taken time out from looking for sex criminals and looking for contracts once they're out of the military to warn that the movement of Russian heavy-caliber artillery systems across the border into Ukraine is imminent. Now they can go back to looking for sex crimes and sex criminals in the military. And, of course, one of the dunces with an empty hat there at the Pentagon accused Russia of escalating the military action there. So it looks to me like over the weekend Russia's going to invade and take what they consider to be their land, their Lebensraum. And we'll see what happens as a result of that. I imagine there's nothing going to happen. They took Crimea, what happened? It's like they're taking Pelham 1-2-3. They're bringing in artillery, and they're going to take that part of Ukraine. And that's the end of it. That's going to be the war. We'll do nothing. Nor should we, in my opinion. WBAP, Gary, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, I'd like to get a better understanding of what the general hatred for Jews are. I understand the stereotypes, the shy.
I'll give you the answer because I thought about this many, many years on my own. No one ever gave me an answer. The stereotypes of the rich and the greedy and the money, that's one thing, but that's not the answer. The reason that Jewish people are detested by so many on the earth is because the Jews brought a code of morality to the world, which the world hates. The world doesn't want anyone to say thou shalt and thou shalt not. The world would rather just worship the golden calf and not be guilty. So they turned to the people who said to them, you can't do this because God's going to be mad at you, and say, go to hell, you can't tell me what I can't do. So they start to hate those who preach to them. So the Jews were the original bringers of morality to the world. That's my opinion. It's one man's opinion. You probably never read it anywhere because I haven't. And it fits, by the way, as far as I'm concerned. Are you still there or not?
I am still here. I'm 50 years old this month, and all I've heard, I was raised in Oklahoma and Texas. I've lived in Colorado, and the stereotypes just perpetuate. It's always about money grubbing. No one wants to get to the root of what a problem is. I've asked people to explain to me before, what is the problem? Is it because of a stereotype? I don't understand it.
Well, you're a man who at least is asking the question. I've given you one man's answer. I'm sure there are thousands of other answers for hatred. There always is justifying hatred.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage. Michael Savage.
The American people are sitting like a bunch of schmucks watching a dictatorship emerge in front of their eyes.
Weekdays from 2 to 3 on Hot Talk 560.
These are children coming over the border. They're children. And as I said to you before, the National Catholic Conference of Bishops compared this to baby Jesus fleeing violence. You could even speak about, if it's your tradition, Moses. What would we do if Moses had not been accepted by the Pharaoh's family? We wouldn't have the Ten Commandments, for starters. But you understand my point. Historically, we have a challenge. And we have examples.
All right, you know, I've got to ask you something. Do you think Nancy Pelosi is sane? Or do you think she means what she's saying? Does she actually believe that these the undocumented illegal aliens are like Moses? They're going to give us a new religion? She thinks amongst them is a new Einstein, a new Moses? Does she really believe that? I mean, do you think she's sincere? Or do you think it's simply that she's the head of the Democrat National, whatever it is, the National Socialist Committee, and simply wants more live bodies to pollute the polls and vote even though they're not citizens come November? What if they bring a five-year-old in and say she's 15, and you say to the poll worker, wait a minute, the child's 5 years old, she's a baby, she can't vote. Would they call the police and have you arrested? Well, we're going to find out. We have another election coming up. Obama's about to pull another curveball on us. How do you think he won in the last election? You forgot the DREAM Act that he passed a few months before? What do you think, those illegals were just here mowing lawns? Every last one of them was told to vote. Oh, but he'll do it again and you'll get away with it because otherwise you're a racist. That's an impeachable offense, what he's doing with the Guatemalans and the El Salvadorans. Anyway, look, it's one man's opinion. It's that simple. If you want to call the show, it's 855-407-2822. Question of the day is, why do so many liberal Jews hate Israel? I know, it's like, ooh, wow, that hurt. That was like sucking air into a tooth that needs a filling. I gave you an instant migraine. Ooh, what was that? Whoa, how could anyone ask that question? How could John Stewart and all of the others be such left-wing fanatics? They make such good money. You think they put two and two together? No. Have they played the Palestinian national anthem yet on the John Stewart show? No, not yet. He hasn't gotten the Palestinian headscarf to wear on the show yet. Okay, let's take some calls. WABC in New York City. Nice to hear from you, Ralph. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I think the Jews, the Jewish left, both in Israel and America, have an adopted. The Jews have been persecuted for so long that they started adopting the feelings of those that they're persecutors. And almost that they think, well, we got to be wrong because if everyone's persecuting us, and therefore the Jewish left, both in Israel and America, decide, well, we can also persecute Jews, so we must be the good Jews that can just be like everyone else that persecutes us.
I think it's an important question because this type of mass hysteria has to be analyzed to understood. Maybe we can cure people of their liberalism before they commit suicide again.
Michael, in 1979, I made a decision to move to Israel, the year you decided not to. And as an American-born Jew living in Israel, I can tell you, we could have used you there on the radio, giving a right point of view, the right point.
Me on a radio in Israel, they never would have permitted it. They would have kicked me out the first day.
I probably
would have been more critical of the Israeli government than any people are currently allowed to be. I mean, you know that Israel has no freedom of speech in the media. You know that.
Good for you. We need more
critical. No, but Israel has no freedom of speech in the media. So far as I know, it's all state-run media. You know that. I mean, that's a fact of reality. There's no independent media in Israel.
Yeah, absolutely correct. And it's independent. It's run by the left. And
There you go. Right. It's because Israel was originally a socialist state. That's, you know, it's an interesting twist of fate and of history that the one vote that gave Israel the right to exist in 1948 was from Russia, and they did so not because they had sympathy for Jews, but because they wanted another socialist nation in the UN. You know that. There's so much in history that you have to know in order to know anything. I guess I know. That's all. WJR, Rich, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike, I just want to
to just clarify something. I was listening to your comments about the hatred of Jews, and what I believe is that what people really hate is Zionism. And it's not really Jews. I think people have become confused and have kind of combined.
Yeah, but, Rich, there was hatred of the Jewish people before Israel was created. So how do you explain that?
Well, I'm talking about in current times. I think people have...
Well, right. So today they're using a new excuse called Zionism. But, you know, Martin Luther King Jr., despite his flaws, said that, make no mistake about it, there's no such thing as anti-Zionists. They're only anti-Semites.
Well,
he saw through it. Because he saw in the black community a lot of anti-Jewish hatred, and he tried to stop it, unlike the current leadership under Sharpton and then Jackson and Farrakhan. And shall I go a step further? I mean, do you hear anyone trying to stop it from the White House? Have you heard Eric Holder try to put a stop to it?
Certainly not. He's too busy trying to keep everybody in this country divided.
That's correct. Zionism is a convenient excuse for hating Jewish people. But what is Zionism? What does Zionism mean? It's nationalism. I wish that there was more nationalism in America. Maybe we wouldn't have a Benedict Arnold in the White House. If we had more nationalism, we wouldn't have a man flooding the country with people who can't support themselves. From Guatemala, El Salvador, why is he bringing them in? They're not going to work. A four-year-old girl's going to work? Her illiterate mother is going to work? Are you crazy? You're going to pay for her. They have instant medical care that's better than our veterans. So don't tell me they're coming in to work. That's utter nonsense. Moreover, 85% of them coming in are not children. They have beards and tattoos. Ask the Border Patrol. Don't ask Nancy Pelosi. Border Patrol will tell you 85% of them have beards and tattoos flooding over the border, saying that they're 15 years old. It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. What Obama is trying to get away with is one of the greatest coups in American history. In fact, it's one of the greatest bloodless coups in the history of the world. If him and Holder and La Raza are able to get away with this, this will be one of the greatest bloodless coups ever carried out on the world stage. Because in the past, in order for a nation to have this done to them, they would have had to lost the war and been colonized. It's unbelievable to me. The only time a nation's demographics have been changed so rapidly has been after a war when the people were defeated and they were colonized by a foreign power. Right now, Obama's getting away with it because he's that smart. He has the media on his side, he has the church on his side, and he has big money on his side. Make no mistake about it. It's the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-400-7282. It's Rock and Roll Friday. Let's have a little music. I can feel the chest building up a little tension in there. I feel a little pressure going up inside the cavity, the chest cavity. I could do without a little surprise, a 2 a.m. job. Let's see what we have here. I don't want to hear any of that music. I'm looking for good rock and roll to play from my archives. Let me see what I want to hear. Hold on. I got long lists here. This is Rock and Roll Music Library by title. So we could play The Heart Beats a Thousand Miles Away while he's searching. I have Johnny on the spot here. We can play Doo Doo Ron Ron by the Crystals. We can play Daddy's Home by Shep and the Schmendricks. We could play Dance With Me by the Drifters. We could play Devil or Angel by the Clovers. Am I talking to a dying country or a country that can come back from the living dead? I have never seen a vampire like this in the White House. Man's like a vampire. He seems to want the blood of America. He can't get enough blood of America. Turn it on. I don't know what to say. You want me to really unleash? Would you like a real unleashing? I'll let you have it in a minute. I have never seen a man as lawless as this get away with so many high crimes without a person screaming, arrest the man before there's no country left. He is about to flood America with a foreign population that has no reason to be here whatsoever. They're inventing the reason. How in the world can we support them? Is there not a sane Democrat left in the world? Is there not one sane Democrat? And I'm going to tell you people, if you ever vote for a Democrat again, don't come complaining to me 4 years from now when your town is destroyed or you have no health care or your schools have become third world schools or your hospitals are no longer hospitals but Mexican clinics. Don't tell me I didn't warn you. You think a nation can take an unlimited beating like this? You think there are no consequences to this insanity? What Obama is about to pull off will be the greatest feat of a bloodless coup in the history of the world. It has never happened to a nation before. But it just shows you what sheeple you have become. It just shows you what sheeple you've become, how you've allowed yourself to be beaten up. They've beaten you to death where you won't even raise your voice anymore. Oh, yeah, you listen to my show. You'll do a little blogging here and there. And then you do nothing else. You say you're powerless. You're really not powerless. You are the majority of this country. You really are the silent majority. And we still have a chance to save this nation. If the entire silent majority stood up and say, the hell with it! No more! And 10 million people went to the White House and demanded that he be impeached immediately, withholder, for committing high crimes. I guarantee you this would stop. I guarantee you this could be stopped. You have a criminal in the White House. Let's not mince words. Every act he commits is that of a criminal. A sneak thief in the night would not dare to do what this man's been doing. You can go down the list from top to bottom. You're telling me the things he's been doing are legal? Everything he does cuts the law, parses the law, abuses the law. This is not the act of a man who is in charge of a nation. This is a man that is almost out of control, if not completely out of control. He's answering to a very small minority of individuals. In this case, it's the La Raza group, the racist supremacist group, La Raza, the race. The race. Can you imagine if a white man created a group called the race? They would be treated with respect by the vermin in the media. La Raza is dictating this policy to Obama. The Muslim sisterhood is dictating his foreign policy, which is why he tried to destroy Israel the other day with the FAA ban flying in and out of Israel. It wasn't for the safety of passengers. You know why he did it. He tried to cut off their lifeline to the world, isolate them psychologically and economically. And then the big power broker stepped in. Maybe Sheldon Adelson. Maybe Michael Bloomberg. Maybe a couple of the big shots in Hollywood who got him elected. They have names. They give him a lot of money. You know their names. Maybe they called and said, enough is enough. You better let those planes go back, or we're not backing any Democrats again. That's why he stopped. Every one of his acts is against the American people. There's not an American thing he's done that's in the name of the nation's security. Nothing. Can you name one thing he has done? I'm going to turn it around now, because I know I'm being overly harsh to many of you. You're frightened. You don't want to listen to it. It scares you when I get angry. So I'm going to ask you a question. I thought about it last night. Can you name one thing Obama has done that's good for America? I'm searching. Name one thing he has done that is good for America. I can't think of anything. Now you'll say, oh, he gave everyone health care. Oh, he has? Oh, you mean you got better health care already, huh? And all of these millions of people who are not qualified for health care are going to get it. And who's paying for it? You mean your health care will go up or will go down? You mean your costs will be higher or lower? Have you thought that through? Has he done anything for America that has been good for America? That's one of the questions. And I'll open the lines up here, 855-400-7282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
I'd like to wake
up. Back to Savage Nation. So the world is aflame, and the fundraiser-in-chief is trying to pick his next fundraising site. Meanwhile, the Hebrews versus the Philistines goes on and on and on. The war in Syria rages on. Notice there's no talk about the atrocities in Syria anymore. No longer is there any talk about the dying and the dead in any other part of the world, where Muslims are kidnapping children in Nigeria, where they are decimating women in Iraq. 4 million women are going to have a clitorectomy because their friends in ISIS, those are the cousins of Hamas, will perform this operation on women. Not one word from the American left, nor from the American female left. Nothing. Not one word about these real travesties, these real crimes against humanity. Instead, it's the Jews again. Their obsession. Once again, there are no crimes until a Jew commits them. And then all of a sudden, that's all they can talk about. And suddenly, they're in solidarity with their Palestinian brethren. The Palestinians who would cut their throats and throw them down a well if they ever lived close enough to them for any period of time. But that's their best friend. And that's a question you have to ask yourself. Why are they so addicted to terror? Why do they seem to sympathize with terror? Why do they have sympathy for the devil? You'll have to ask Mick Jagger, not me. 855-400-7282. Susan on WABC, fire away. What's on your mind?
You were talking about the Jewish left, and it pains me because I am Jewish, a proud Jew, and I'm a Zionist. But I think it's steeped in narcissism. It's kind of a...
Susan, don't you dare say you're a Zionist in Manhattan. You actually tell people that?
I am a proud Zionist, and I'm speaking to Israel every day, and I'm aware of the pain that my friends and my family are going through. But the thing is...
But you see, according to the American left, the only good Jew is a cowering Jew. See, if the Jews cowered in bomb shelters, then that's the kind of Jew they like. The Woody Allen Jew is the type that they like. Do you understand that, Susan?
Of course I understand.
They like a cowering Jew hiding in a basement with a saxophone, saying, "Oy vey, there's a rocket flying overhead, what should I do?" That's the kind of Jew that they like. But when a Jew stands up and says, "Enough is enough, go to hell, we'll push you into the sea," suddenly that Jew is not acceptable to New York City people like the type we're talking about.
And these beautiful, glorious boys that are on the front line. We're not talking about some volunteer army. We're talking about an army of incredible creme de la creme. This Golani Brigade represents the finest that Israel has.
I know that. That's right. Just like our special forces, they're the best of the best. And they lost so many of them the other day. And it's a loss for a small nation. To lose 16 men in one day is like losing probably 1,600 to us in one day. Yeah, well, it's a bad time in the world because Dracula's in the White House. That's a joke, of course, isn't it? Sucking the nation's blood?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock.
All right, stop the music.
Rock.
Stop the music. We have breaking news. Israel just agreed to observe a 12-hour unilateral ceasefire against the Philistines in Gaza. So once again, just when they're near victory, they snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. They will let the Philistines get new anti-tank rockets from Iran. They'll let the Philistines refresh and recoup. And once again, because Israel wants to be loved by the world, they've agreed to something that is suicidal. Israel to observe 12-hour unilateral ceasefire in Gaza. This is crazy. It's insanity. Either they're at war or they're not at war. But no, Kerry pressured them. Kerry pressured them. He went over there on Ketchup One, landed on Ketchup One, had a nice nap, and then said, "Do it or else. We'll cut your weapons off, probably." Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has told U.S. Secretary of State John Ketchup Kerry that Israel will begin a 12-hour pause in Gaza hostilities starting at 7 a.m. Israeli time on Saturday. So now the Palestinians or the Philistines can have weapons brought in, I would assume, from Iran. They're doing very well because they have a special armor on their tanks that they developed in Israel, and the rockets that they're being that the Philistines are firing at their tanks from Russia and China are bouncing off the tanks. So this will give them the opportunity to get new rockets, anti-tank rockets, so maybe they can blow up more Israeli tanks. And then it'll make the Americans on the NPR and National Palestinian Radio happy. Earlier today, Netanyahu's Security Cabinet rejected proposals for a longer ceasefire in the Philistine Strip and is seeking changes to the plans. Ketchup Kerry has been pushing for a halt to 18 days of fighting between Israel and Hamas in the Gaza Strip. So I don't know what this is all about. How in the world could Israel agree to end hostilities when they've yet to blow up all of the tunnels? I mean, what do they think it's going to come to an end when they leave? Either they go in there, they flood the tunnels with seawater, which is, to me, the only solution. Right now, when they find a tunnel, and I've tried to explain to you how vast this is, it's just coming out that the Palestinians have spent the billions and billions of dollars in aid given to them by the wealthy Arab nations, not to build a new Jerusalem to show the world what Palestinians are able to do, but to build a city underneath Gaza, a city of terror tunnels that cost billions of dollars. And the only way to stop this is to flood the tunnels. It's astounding. It's a city underneath a city. They did not build a new Jerusalem with the money. Instead of taking their genius, and building a nation, a citadel to the world and saying, look what we can do. We should have a state. Give us the West Bank and we'll build even a greater city. We'll show the Israelis that we can beat them in science. We can beat them in medicine. We can beat them in anything because we want to prove to the world that we're good people. Instead, they prove to the world the exact opposite. So I'm going to say, if you want to look at it from another point of view, this experience in Gaza has taught the world one thing. There cannot be, nor will there ever be a two-state solution, ever. Not in your lifetime. Not unless Israel elects a turncoat like Obama will that ever happen. Now, if Israel were to elect an enemy within like Obama, that's another story. See, if Israel had not Netanyahu but an Obama in the white in the Knesset, it's Israel would be over already. He would have punctured the borders, changed the nature of the nation, destroyed the nation, and they would be dancing the Hatikvah together. Or would they? No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't have a nation left. Because everyone knows the nation is defined by its borders, its language, and its culture. That's why Obama has gotten away with the greatest crime possibly in the history of the world. Now, why do I say that? That's crazy. Certainly Hitler was worse. Yes, he was worse. But what Hitler did, he did through the force of arms. What Obama is doing through the force of deceit. With the powers that he has, and he's a genius in his deceitful manners. I have never seen a more deceitful individual get away with more in my life, ever. Never. I've never seen a criminal get away with more. How can you destroy America, a nation's borders, language, and culture without firing a shot? I call it a bloodless coup. Write it down. Savage says Obama has conducted a bloodless coup in the United States of America. You'll say, come on, what are you talking about? What would you say to the fact, let's forget all the other scandals, and there are many of them. Each one is impeachable. If any one of the other scandals had been conducted by an American Republican, there would have been an impeachment hearing for the last 3 years or more. But let's put those aside. What he is about to do will trump all of them. And I warned you that he's got a couple of years left to totally destroy the nation. And let me tell you, this is what happens when you have an unrestrained radical leftist take over a country. They don't respect the nation, let alone the laws of the nation. They will write laws. They will become a law unto themselves. In other words, we are living in a dictatorship, a putative dictatorship at that, but it is a dictatorship nevertheless. It's certainly not a nation where the will of the people is being heard. Are you telling me that if there was a vote held today, in this so-called republic of ours, and it asked a simple question, do you want to bring in millions of illegal aliens and give them homes in America, whether they can work or not? What do you think the vote would be? 90 to 10? No. Who would want them? Why does Nancy Pelosi say that they're like Moses? That every child from Guatemala is like a new Moses or a new Einstein? Are these people crazy or do they think you're stupid? Or do they actually believe this? Well, anyway, that's the story of what's going on. Let's take some calls. Let's go to Toledo, Ohio. Paul, you're calling on an important topic. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I know you spoke to the before about the hatred of the Jews and that. And I know, I think it was you to mention that back in the early 6th century or something, they would not convert to Islam. And therefore, that kind of started the whole ball rolling. And I know a lot of people called it and asked about that subject and all. And you know, that's what I want to say, though.
You think that the hatred of Jews began because they would not convert to Islam, but I'm asking about the hatred of Jews in general, not just by Muslims. There's great hatred of Jewish people throughout the world, including amongst Christians. I mean, let's not look at this with rose-colored glasses. I gave my own answer because a man asked me the question. I gave what I thought was a possible explanation for the hatred of Jews through the centuries. Now, you can go back and use the stereotypes. You know, the Merchant of Venice, whatever you want to do. That the Jew is mercenary, he's always out for money, however you want to put it. And I'm not here to mince words or change things or make you feel better about it one way or the other. Use a stereotype if you want, but it's about as valid as the Irish drunk, okay? You know, not every Irishman is a drunkard and not every Jew is a mercenary. But okay, if that makes you happy and makes you feel superior because he did better than you and you can blame it on something that he didn't do, go ahead. In other words, he works harder than you, he's smarter than you, so therefore he did something to you. It's called human jealousy. The guy works hard and he's smarter than you and makes more money. Naturally, you're going to make it up that he did something to you and took it from you. San Francisco, for example, is filled with losers who wrote screenplays that nobody wants to buy. And who do they blame it on? The Jews of Hollywood. Oh, if they're only connected. Are you kidding? Sit there stoned on marijuana. The gibberish they write in the cafe they think is a movie. But they got someone to blame already. The big conspiracy, the secret handshake. But that's not my explanation. Let me give you mine. Here's the wisdom of the ages. I thought about this. Why do people hate Jews? I thought about it for many years on my own. I've never expressed it until today. Each show is a new day for me and a new opportunity to express myself. And express myself, I will. And here's all I could come up with is this. The Jewish people are hated because they brought morality to the world. Before that, before the Jewish Bible, before the Ten Commandments, there were no laws. Man was like a wild beast. He worshipped mud. He worshipped feathers. He worshipped crystals, like your daughter, in other words. The one who drives around with a crystal on the mirror. She's like a pagan. You don't know that. She eschewed Catholicism, and she's now worshipping a pigeon feather on the dashboard. You ever see them driving around? Looks like a rolling teepee on half the highways in San Francisco. It's like driving next to a teepee with tires. I don't know how they look out of the window with what's hanging off the mirror. It looks like dead birds are hanging from the mirror. But not to be too comedic in the political arena. So the point is the Jews come along. They develop a book of laws. And the book says the first thing is thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't have sex with animals. What? What are you, crazy? What the heck do you think? What are you going to walk around? No, I don't want to get too graphic, but that was number one. Who's he to tell me I can't love my goat? Can't have sex with animals. That's no good. Okay, that's no good. Can't eat this. Can't eat that. Can't eat a pig. What? What are you, crazy? I like pork. Can't eat it. No good. So people resent people saying no. It's like a child. Parent says don't do this. The child doesn't like the parent saying don't do it. So people learn to hate the moralist. And the moralist was the Jew. And I think that started the ball rolling. That's my analysis. One man's opinion. It's one man. Maybe it's simplistic. I know it's not as brilliant as you might get from a professor at Berkeley or Harvard. We'll give you a big discourse on the whole reason. No, that's about as basic as you can get. It started with that. As a former cultural anthropologist, I would say to you my idea is about as valid as any on the planet. It's that simple. And that's all. The rest is history. Here we are. Here we are. The real question is, why do liberal Jews support Hamas? This is the thing I'll never understand. I will never understand this. Why do so many liberal Jews support Hamas and hate Israel? You see them standing there with the long faces with signs that it's not in our ethics. Not in our ethics to, what, to defend yourself? If women like that were standing with signs in Germany, everybody would have been killed. That's all. Not in our ethics. Ethics. What's in your ethics? To die? It was okay that when the Jews were being hit with rockets, they were good Jews, cowering in the basement, playing records. You know, that's the kind of acceptability that the world likes. A cowering Jew is an acceptable Jew. And the minute they said enough is enough, we'll push you into the sea, suddenly the Jew is hated. What do you expect them to do? Tell me, what do you want them to do? What should they do now? They should give up the West Bank so they can see even not just rockets coming in. Don't you people understand that there are consequences to your thinking? So you say, well, okay, if only they had the West Bank and there was a two-state solution, maybe they'd be nice. You mean that's what you learned from the rockets' red glare? That they'd be nice if they had more land and an easy access to weapons and such, and they had their own Air Force, they'd be nicer? It's the end of the two-state solution. Mark it down. Never going to happen. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It's the Savage Nation. So A local site linked my question of the day, asking, Savage says, why do liberal Jews hate Israel? So a blogger writes, because they displaced 1 million people when the state of Israel was created. On the face of it, that sounds very, very liberal and very reasonable. And what they don't talk about is the displacement of about 1 million Jews from North Africa at the same time. Jews that have been there for 500 years. They had to leave their houses and their possessions. They were driven out of Algeria, Libya, Tunisia. Go and look at your map. Jews have been there for hundreds of years. And once Israel was created there, the Arabs in these countries threw them out of the country. They stole all of their possessions. But you never hear about that displacement, that diaspora, do you? You never hear about them being pushed out of North Africa, do you? About their possessions being stolen, do you? No. That's number one. But then this issue of the displacement of Arabs from their own land and all of that, that's very, very interesting talk living here in America since we displaced the Native Americans, including the liberals who are living on the lands of the Native Americans. So the answer is, why don't you give back, why don't you give your house to a Native American? It's easy to tell the Israelites, Israel and the Jews to give something to the Palestinians. Why don't you live by example, something that liberals will never do? Why don't you donate your house and your car and your shoes and your wife to the Native American nearest you? Go to a local casino and ask if you can donate your house. Instead of telling the Jews to give land back, why don't you give back your land? I mean, everyone in the state of California who's a liberal should give back their land to the Miwoks here in Northern California instead of telling the Jews what to do. Such hypocrisy. It's such rubbish. If you look at the history of the world, the history of the planet, there is not a standing nation that was not built upon an occupied nation. Not one. There's not one nation, not one modern nation that's not built on occupied land. Not one. There's only one nation that has the entire public relations of the world aimed against it, and that's Israel. Why? Anti-Semitism. Period. End of story. Only they couch it now in all sorts of anti-Zionist. I'm not a Jew. Jew hater. I'm an anti-Zionist, not an anti-Semite. Well, Martin Luther King Jr. said there is no difference. Look it up. You can probably still find it. Because when he was around, he saw a lot of hatred for Jews amongst blacks. And he cautioned them. He tried to stop it. He said, make no mistake about it. When you hear people saying they're anti-Zionist but not anti-Jewish, they're lying. He said, there's only one thing, and that's called anti-Semitism. That was Martin Luther King Jr. He knew that. Go tell that to Al Sharptongue or Jesse High Jackson. See if you can get that into their skulls. Better yet, tell it to Eric Holder and Barack Obama and the four horsewomen of the apocalypse who are running us off the rails. Why don't they read Martin Luther King's statements instead of acting like they do read our Martin Luther King Jr. statements and act accordingly? So I can see what's going on. I see the truth, but wait. Archie on WFTL, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, in answer to the question about what one good thing Obama has done, I believe he has done one good thing, which is to show America what unrestrained liberalism actually does and how opposite it is from everything that they've been taught.
Yes, but the problem is they salute him for what he's done. They like that he broke the law.
Yeah,
see, they don't care that he's breaking the law as long as their agenda gets passed. Gay marriage, gays in the military, unqualified women as generals, women who can't fly in charge of the Air Force. I mean, what could be better? It's a picnic for them. So don't assume that they're shocked by it. They're saluting it. The very same feminists who should be screaming about the forced genital mutilation on 4 million Iraqi women from age 14 and up are saying nothing. This shows you how fraudulent that whole movement is. They save the hatred for Republican men. They say nothing about this movement in Iraq that has demanded through a fatwa, whatever the heck that is, that all women between the ages of, I think, 11 and 43 be genitally mutilated. You stupid women, you! It's only the women that can save this world. And only when they wake up to this fraudster in the White House, this Benedict Arnold in the White House, can we save the nation. Unfortunately, I think it will never happen. Never. It's the Savage Nation. Thanks for giving me 15 minutes. I'll be back in a moment to give you the rest of this hour right here on your local station.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage. It is the Savage Nation, Rock and Roll Friday. Are you perplexed by the world events? Are you perplexed by a president who not only stops the flow of illegal aliens into America, but abets it, aids it, rather, aids, brings them in? He does the exact opposite of what America wants, he does. He wants us to be on Israel's side unequivocally. He's on the side of Hamas, pretending he isn't. He tells his FAA to stop flying to Israel, and within 2 days he stops because the Jewish money would have dried up. I mean, let's be clear. I have no other way at this stage of my life to mince words. Democrats, okay, get a lot of their money from billionaire Jewish people. Not only, but you know it and I know it. Do I have to hide it? Do I have to say it's not true? We all know it's true. You want me to name five of them? I'll be happy to name five of them. Hollywood has one. Las Vegas has one. New York has a few. I'll give you five right off the top of my hat. They're all liberal Democrats. And so Obama's been able to play them like suckers for all of these years, making believe he's on Israel's side. He's not. He's with them. Don't worry. Wink, wink. Just pass the cash, you know, when they need me. So he shuts off the vital supply of good services and passengers. And he says, oh, I didn't do it. I didn't do that. I was busy raising money in L.A. and San Francisco when it happened. I ordered my guys. Listen to Obama in clip two. Listen to this, because he backtracked. The minute these big donors said, hey, wait a minute, enough is enough, we're cutting you off, the unthinkable will happen if you don't let those airplanes go. We'll give our money to the Republicans rather than the Democrats. So the wiser elders of the Democrat socialist machine made them reopen the flights. Listen to clip two.
The initial ban that was imposed by the FAA was based on Israel needing to show us that, in fact, it was safe for commercial airlines to fly in.
Yeah,
right. They worked through a checklist of concerns and mitigation measures that needed to be taken.
Yeah,
Having completed those and convinced the FAA, moved forward.
Yeah, right. It was all reasonable. Everything's reasonable and legal with him. We're going to flood America with millions of Guatemalans and El Salvadorans, but it's perfectly legal because I say so. And my goon in the Justice Department will write the law. And then we'll shop it to a bunch of degenerate judges in black robes that we put in there from America's lowest law schools. And so this is what's going on. And I woke up in the middle of the night and I was saying, how do you destroy this tunnel system? Remember yesterday I eerily said that what Hamas has built over the last few years with billions of dollars in aid has not been hospitals, not a New Jerusalem. Remember, the Palestinians could have built a New Jerusalem in Gaza. They could have said, you know what? We hate the Jews, we hate Israel, so what we're going to do is we're going to compete with them the way civilized people do. We're going to build a newer Jerusalem that's better, that's fairer, that's more humane. Not equal, but better, because we're the smartest Arabs in the world, and everyone knows that, by the way. The Palestinians are the smartest of the Arabic people. Everybody knows that. I've had Palestinian associates along the way. They've even told me they're known. They're hated by most other Arabs because they're jealous of them. Palestinians are the most advanced of the Arabic people. They could have built a new Jerusalem with all those billions of dollars. Instead, they built an underground city with tunnels wide enough to drive a truck through, made of concrete, with electricity running in conduits and sewage. It's a city underneath the city. So right now, Israel is going in and painstakingly finding the entrances, which are cleverly placed in mosques. Oh, yeah! Oh, yes, the clever Palestinians have placed the entrance to this underground terror tunnel city, in schools, in mosques, and of course surrounded by civilian homes. This is what they do. So the Israelis find these openings, and either they're booby-trapped, and they have to bypass the booby-traps, and then they bring in bulldozers, and they bring in jets to bomb them if they can. So I'm thinking this is going to take forever. You can't destroy this, but yesterday I said it's very much like the Viet Cong built the underground ran of tunnels in North Vietnam, South Vietnam, and it's very much like that. I wonder who their advisors were. I wonder who advised them on building these tunnels. I would suspect it was the Chinese or the Russians. My guess, the Chinese aided the Palestinians. That would be my guess on this. Probably provided the concrete as well, but that's a separate story. How would you destroy the tunnels? How would you destroy the tunnels? Now, you can't use gas. It's outlawed by the Geneva Convention, so you can't put poison gas in the tunnels. So that's out. You could bomb them. It's a very painstaking process. They have to open them up with bulldozers and blow them up. The only solution, as I can see, is for the Egyptians to bring in seawater and flood the tunnels with a long, long, long connection to the ocean, the Mediterranean, or to the Suez Canal. I don't know if that could happen, but I think that's a rational engineering decision, isn't it? You bring in a huge pipeline from the Suez Canal, and you stick it like a hose into a nest where you have animals that have invaded your house, and you flood the tunnel with seawater. Would that work or not? Is that a lie? How would you destroy the tunnels? I'm just asking a simple question. That's one. A very simple question. But you've learned already on the show two things. People stop me and say, oh, Mike, did you hear? I heard this on a radio show that Israel has allies now with Egypt and another country. I said, you heard it on my show. They don't even know they're hearing it on my show now. That's the sign of a successful show is I break the news on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They don't know they heard it from me because I don't really care anymore. All that matters is that you get the information at this stage of my life. And I have to ask myself, why do so many liberal Jews support Hamas? I don't understand it. I kind of do, but I don't. I know many of you understand what I'm talking about. Why do so many liberal Jews in America and around the world support Hamas? Because at this point, it's either you're for the Jews or you're against them. There's no in-between anymore. Hamas is ready to wipe them off the planet. What do you want Israel to do? Just cower in bunkers like a good Jew? So when Israel was cowering in bunkers and doing nothing, the world said, that's who cares? We'll focus on something else. We'll attack Putin. The minute Israel attacked and said, enough is enough, stop pushing the Jews around, screw you. We're not going in the oven. We're not going in the ocean. We'll push you in the ocean. Now the world hates the Israelites. Turkey, which was once a sane nation, now has a leader, Erdogan, who's become a maniac. He says Israel's a terrorist state. It's worse than Hitler. National Palestinian Radio, NPR, around-the-clock Israel hatred with your taxpayer funds, which is amazing to me. I want to backtrack for a minute. So Neville Ketchup Chamberlain goes to the Middle East and says we've got to do something, but he doesn't know what it is. The answer is for Egypt to unleash its army onto Gaza and in a pincer movement go into Gaza City and crush the Hamas rocket factories, and that'll be the end of it. Blow up the tunnels, crush the rocket factories, and then maybe there could be peace. That's the only solution. So the world is a mess right now because we have a vacuum coming out of the White House. And as you well know, nature abhors a vacuum. One of the primary rules of physics is that nature abhors a vacuum. America was once the citadel for liberty around the world. It's now become nothing, an empty shell, because we have an empty individual in the White House. And so we see a war brewing in the Middle East. We see people dying for no reason over Ukraine. We see people dying here, dying there. We see a government out of control, a rogue government stepping on the people. We see a rogue government in New York State, a rogue government in California, making laws up as they wish. We are seeing what happens when America loses its influence in the world, not so much because we lost our power, but because we elected an atheist fundraiser, however you want to put it. I mean, I don't have to come up with 100 different adjectives to describe what we know we have in the White House. A man who is imposing a negativity on this nation that is permeating every cop on every street. And then we read the filmmaker that we've all maybe liked or laughed with, Woody Allen, gives a speech that life is meaningless, it's all going to end, what does it really mean? So all of the great works of art will go with the earth as the sun burns out. And so therefore, what's the meaning of existence? So this is what happens when you're 78 and you've believed only in yourself all your life, and you realize that when you die, the world dies. You think that the world dies with you. Now, he's a filmmaker and a fine artist. I don't particularly like his message. I think he's very funny. But the point is he triggered a thought in my head. How do you find meaning in life? In all of this confusion in the world, what do you do for meaning? I'm talking to you, sir. You, lady, you stepping into your Lexus somewhere in New Jersey. How do you find meaning in your life? Juggling family, bags of groceries, whatever. A husband you don't particularly care for anymore. How do you justify all of this? How do you fill this void? What do you believe in? You know, so Woody Allen, let's go back again to Woody Allen. Woody Allen typifies and embodies atheism. He always has. He was the ultimate Jewish atheist. Let's not forget he's Jewish, and everyone knows that. And for most Americans, he represents the Jew. You don't know that either. Which is why he became so popular, is because he made a mockery of Jewish men. And that was acceptable to the average American person. Anyone who mocked a Jew was a good Jew. So therefore, they liked laughing at Jews, and they chose Woody Allen's image, the neurotic, frightened, cowardly Jew. That took. And he made a good living at it. He's made a good buck at that. Yeah, very good buck. Now, he's not the first person to denigrate his own people by denigrating himself and pretending he represented all of his people. I've made this example before. In the 1940s, long before my time, there was a black actor named Stepan Fetchit. He was big. Stepan Fetchit. That he gave himself that name. Stepan Fetchit. Think about the servility of his name itself. And what did he do to make the white man laugh? He played the servile black. Yeah, man, I's coming, boss. Remember those days? Well, the white people loved it because he fulfilled the stereotype of the servile, stupid African man, and he made a fortune. So in essence, Woody Allen is in the long tradition of debasing his own people to make a buck. It doesn't mean he's not funny. I mean, I've laughed at his movies. Who could ever forget him with Annie Hall running from a lobster in a kitchen? Who could ever forget him in any of his wonderful roles of the frightened Schlemiel? We loved him in that role. So now he's an old man. He's 78. And forget the molestation stuff. That's nothing to an atheist. I mean, if you don't believe in God and you don't believe in a hereafter, you molest. That's all. As long as you don't get caught, what's the difference? Whether he did it or not. I'm not saying he did. I don't know if he did it. But it wouldn't have mattered to him if he did it, as long as he couldn't be seen. In other words, if there's no God, what's the difference what he does when no one can catch him? So that's why he doesn't think he's guilty, because in his mind, he isn't guilty, even if he is. So what I'm getting at, he gives a speech while promoting his new movie saying life is meaningless and it has no morals, obviously. The sun will one day burn out and the whole world, the universe will end. And he says all the great works of Shakespeare, Beethoven, Da Vinci, all be gone. And he says, so you won't have to wait for the universe to vanish, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes on to say, so all of this achievement, all the Shakespearean plays and these symphonies and the height of human achievement will be gone completely. He means his movies will be gone as well. He's just related. He said there'll be nothing, absolutely nothing. No time, no space, nothing at all, just zero. So he says, so what does it really mean? So it's another old man coming to the end of his existence who's an atheist, and he doesn't know what's waiting for him. He figures nothing. Nothing. The electricity in his brain will stop, and he will stop with it. He doesn't believe in his soul, and I don't think he's alone in that. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. As we come to the end of the show today on the Savage Nation on Friday, the 25th of July, war in the Middle East is heating up, and of course in America, National Palestinian Radio, NPR, paid for with your dollars, National Palestinian Radio, is around the clock attacking Israel and supporting Hamas. You wouldn't expect that, would you? Well, I would. The American left hates Israel. And strangely enough, I've been asking, why do so many left-wing American Jewish people support NPR and Hamas? Go figure. Go figure. You'll have to ask their psychiatrist, not me. Meanwhile, Obama's approval rating has slipped to 39%, which is very high as far as I'm concerned for a man who should be impeached. And a new shock poll claims that one-third of Americans want him impeached. Did you hear this? Meanwhile, in the Middle East, the Hamas morale is collapsing and the terrorists are fleeing, according to the Israel Defense Forces. That's right. We talked about how the Hamas tunnel networks grew. We talked about how these tunnels can be destroyed and are being destroyed. We talked today about your government putting a gun to the head of a Boy Scout and arresting his troop as they crossed the Canadian border. Punks and thugs in the TSA and DHS, if you can believe it, U.S. Customs and Border Protection, to be specific, put a gun to the head of a Boy Scout who was on a hike with his troop from America to Alaska. If you can believe this, while our border is being overrun by Obama's children from Honduras, these vermin in the TSA and border guards threatened to arrest a mid-Iowa Boy Scout troop and put a gun to the head of one of them because he snapped a photograph of one of these fascist agents. Savage to these border guards, dropped dead. We also learned that a solar flare nearly destroyed Earth 2 years ago, according to NASA. Okay, I'm glad it admitted it missed. Well, I went and checked my journals for July 23rd, 2012, hoping that it would explain, hoping I could figure out, let's see, what happened that day. Did I have a big argument with someone? No. Did I lose a tooth? No. Did I have an extreme headache? No. Did I lose any money at the racetrack? No, because I don't bet. Well, since it missed, it didn't affect me. I'm glad to say that the solar flare missed, and thank God. Also in the news in the Savage Nation, we're talking about the addiction of marijuana. You heard me. And strangely enough, this is coming not only from Michael Savage, who's been on this for 25 to 30 years, but from the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic, which has been on the forefront of left-wing politics and left-wing medicine in San Francisco since the 60s. Well, the head of that, the doctor, said that young are now addicted to it. And he said that as a doctor, Smith believes he's the doctor at the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic. He believes the medical potential of the drug is exciting, but he said cannabis is definitely addictive. Definitely addictive. And many people are seeing the clinics filling up with teenagers seeking treatment for marijuana dependency in the U.S., Australia, and everywhere else. This dangerous drug is rising. And common among the drugs users, the U.N. found, is a notion that marijuana is safe. Gee, I wonder how they came to that conclusion. Meanwhile, the teenage boys filling up the treatment centers at Muirwood Adolescent and Family Services in Marin County illustrate this terrible reality well. Nearly all the boys between 13 and 17 years old, residing in mostly a white affluent area, are seeking treatment for marijuana addiction. Go tell that to the marijuana addicts and those pushing this dangerous drug on the American children. Well, thank you for giving me 15 minutes, Infidels, and God bless America.
Savage.